Ephesians chapter 6. Two more weeks in Ephesians. Next week we will close out the last portion of this book. But this morning we're going to look at the portion on prayer. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're just going to read verses 18 through 20, the portion on prayer. We began this last week. But we believe that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. And to honor His Word, we stand when it is read because we believe He's speaking. And would you do so now? Ephesians chapter 6, whether you have a Bible or a tablet or a phone or logging around a computer, I don't know. If you've got the Scriptures before you, follow with me. Ephesians 6, 18 through 20, the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And God's people said, Amen. Please, would you be seated? Father, we pray the same thing that Paul did at the end of this book, for you to give utterance to our mouths and boldness and opportunity for the gospel. And we pray that you would help us to pray as we should in the Spirit at all times. And we ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit would teach us how to do that now. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What is prayer? What is the meaning of prayer? We know that prayer is talking to God. Prayer is asking. But what is the meaning of prayer? I've told this story before, but when I was in seminary, I was taking a class from J. Dwight Pentecost, who was a well-known Bible scholar, and a class on the life of Christ, and we were covering the Lord's Prayer, and one of the students raised his hand and said, "So Dr. Pentecost, what is the meaning of prayer?" And immediately, because he had thought of this, he said, "Prayer is dependence upon God." That's what prayer is. Prayer is dependence on God. Because when we pray, we're saying, "You're God and I'm not. There are things that you know that I do not know. There are things that you can do that I cannot do. I need your help. Would you please, by your grace and your kindness, do that which I ask in the name of Jesus?" That's what prayer is, saying, "I can't do this. These are things that are beyond me." And so prayer is a declaration of dependence. And the more we pray, the more we are actually depending upon God. So it is a means by which we declare that dependence upon Him. Now, in our passage, this is in the context of spiritual battle. We saw last week that in spiritual battle, there are other strategies besides putting on the armor of God. And we looked at the other enemies as well, the world, the flesh, and the devil. But we stand firm by putting on the armor of God, he said in 10 through 17, and we stand firm through prayer, we see in verses 18 through 20. So prayer is one of the strategies that God has given to us to stand firm in the midst of the battle in which we find ourselves. And we saw last week from verse 18, stand firm through prayer, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And I asked you last week, and I call your attention again to the repetitions that you see in this passage, with all prayer, pray at all times in the Spirit, with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And then the various words that he uses for prayer. Prayer, petition, pray, perseverance, petition. So he's making a statement here. Prayer is pretty important here at the end of the book. And we saw last week we were to pray in the Spirit. And that means as long as if you are walking with God and confessing sin, and you are praying according to His will, and you are being washed with the Word of God, and you're walking with Him and you are engaged in prayer and inviting prayer into that, I think you're praying in the Spirit. There's no mystical other solution you have to do. And I'll come back to this later because I think there are a couple of other things that help us to pray in the Spirit. We also saw last week that we're to pray with vigilance because Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." And we saw that that being on the alert is found often throughout the New Testament. We have to watch out. Why do we need to watch out? Remember the context here. Why pray in the Spirit and why watch out? Because this is a spiritual battle. And the Holy Spirit is in us. And He's greater than the spirits in the world. And those spirits in the world are constantly scheming against us to cause us to fall and therefore be on the alert with prayer. So those are the two that we looked at last week. Now, there are four more from verse 18 that we'll look at this morning. And the first one is this, or the third of the six is this: pray diverse prayers. Pray prayers of variety. With all prayer and petition. With perseverance and petition. The words prayer and petition are two of the most common words in the New Testament for prayer. And prayer is more general. Petition is more the asking, intercessory, that kind of thing. But He's saying to us this: pray all kinds of prayers. Don't just pray one kind of prayer. Prayer is not one-dimensional. It's not just the Lord's Prayer. There are prayers of confession. There are prayers of praise. You can spend an entire time thanking God for His goodness. There are prayers for deliverance. Sometimes we just fall down and we say, and we weep, "God, deliver me, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me." Prayers of deliverance. There are times where we pray for ourselves. There are times when we pray for others. There are prayers for healing. There are prayers for provision. There are prayers for salvation. You get what I'm saying? There are all kinds of prayers. And so we should be about praying all kinds of prayers. Short prayers, long prayers, silent prayers, prayers out loud, whatever you can think of, whatever is under the sun, pray all kinds of prayers. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times. That doesn't mean, by the way, that you're always walking around bumping into things because you're talking to God. But it just means that you're always praying in many, many ways. The second thing is to pray consistently. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times. You know the verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Before that it says, give thanks for everything, pray without ceasing, rejoice always. This is a way of life. To pray without ceasing, to always be joyful, to always be a person of gratitude. And so, again, prayer is not occasional. It's not because something came up and it's time for me to pray. There's a problem, so I need to pray. He says, pray at all times. John MacArthur, I think, is helpful here. He says, such unceasing and recurring prayer, as said here in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, demands first an attitude of God consciousness. It does not mean to be constantly in the act of verbal prayer. That would be kind of silly, wouldn't it? Although maybe not that hurtful. But to view everything in life in relation to God. For example, if we meet someone, we immediately consider where they stand with God. If we hear of something bad happening, we react by praying for God to act in the situation because we know that He cares. If we hear of something good that has happened, we respond with immediate gratitude and praise to God for it because we know He is the one who is to be glorified. When Paul looked around his world, everything he saw prompted him to pray in some way, and so it should for us. When he thought of or heard about one of his beloved churches, it moved him toward communion with God, and so it should for us as well. Pray at all times in the Spirit. That means we need to learn some consistency. If we're praying at all times, I think our biggest problem, my biggest problem, is that I'm just not consistent. I think the regular part of it is consistent, but sometimes my prayers are mundane and dry, and they're not in the Spirit, and I'm not really engaged, and I'm just saying words and reading a list. You know what I'm talking about. But if we're praying various times, in various ways, then we develop this persistency, or this rather this consistency that's important in every area of life, because prayer is indeed, it's a discipline, and it's like physical health. Consistency helps your spiritual health. When you work out and you have a good diet, and you take care of yourself, that health is cumulative. In the same way, when you have a good Bible diet and you pray on a consistent basis, you have spiritual vitality and spiritual fitness. But it doesn't just come in one shot. It's over a period of time. The next one that Paul lists for us here is to pray persistently. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance. We are to be tenacious in our prayers. Don't let go. As I've been reading about prayer, so many writers talk about Jacob wrestling with God, and he just would not let go of God. And that should be our prayers as well, that we are persevering and we're persistent and we are tenacious in our prayers. It's like the woman in Luke 18, remember from our study of Luke, the woman who comes to the judge, and this judge didn't know, he didn't believe in God and he didn't care about God, but the woman was saying, I need justice. And she kept knocking on his door. And he said, I don't care about God and I don't care about this woman, but to get her out of my hair, I'm going to answer her. Now, the lesson there for us is a lesson of prayer, that we are to persevere in prayer. And it's not so much that we nag God until he does what we want. It's that we grow in our faith and dependence upon him. That we learn to persevere. I've heard Christians say sometimes, well, I prayed once and God knows he's sovereign, so why should I continue to pray? Because we're told to be persevering in our prayers. We're to be persistent in our prayers. And when God answers and when we persist, even when we're continually asking and persevering in our prayers, it does something for our faith. It draws out our faith. It evokes our faith. It develops discipline in our lives. Jesus also said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Notice how there's an ascending in importance. First he says, ask. And then he says, seek, get up and do something. And then he says, knock, ask and seek and knock and persevere. It's not knock, it's keep on knocking. We must be persistent in our prayers. Many people have stories of loved ones who came to Christ after praying for them for decades. My dad was that way. Tara's mother was that way. And maybe there are some that family members that you know, you've been praying for years and years and years for their salvation. Don't give up. Keep praying. And some of you are ready to give up. I know. Oh, they'll never come to Christ. I would never come to Christ. I was one of the most unlikely people to come to Christ. That's what God does. He brings people to faith in him. So persist in your prayers. The last one is this, to pray for one another. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. It's not discriminatory. It's for anyone who has a need. It's for everyone. He's talking about praying for one another because he says the saints, yes, you can pray for others. But he says, pray for one another. Pray for others. Maybe that just needs to be said to some of you. Because if all of our prayers are, gimme, 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 help me, help me, help me, help me, it's pretty self-centered, isn't it? And we need to make a healthy change then. And our prayers need to become other-oriented and pray for others. Because other people have needs besides me. So when we look at this in a comprehensive way, pray at all times in the Spirit, many kinds of prayer for everyone. None of these stand alone. But when we do this over a long period of time, we understand and we persevere and pray, we understand that sometimes God says yes. And sometimes God says, not right now, maybe, perhaps. And sometimes God says no. And if you develop your prayer life, you'll understand that you see many answers to prayer. You see oftentimes when God says no, And you see sometimes where he just hasn't answered yet. But you recognize that that is his choice, not ours. Even when he says no, that's for our good and for his will. And if we only pray once in a while, and then we never see God answer any prayers, then where are we with our faith and our understanding of the goodness and sovereignty of God? We don't understand it. So, one of the things I'll tell you, Valley Bible Church, is kudos for praying for one another. You do a great job. We do this well. We have our prayer, our connection card, where you give us requests, and we have a prayer team that gathers, and they put those requests together, and they send that out to the elders, and they send that out to the prayer team, and you can be part of that prayer team. Ask Pam if you would like to be part of that. And so we have all of these prayers that are gathered on Sunday mornings. Not only that, we have around 250 people gathered in life groups praying for one another every week, 20 prayer meetings a week. Think about that. That's phenomenal. We do very, very well at praying for one another and praying for these requests. And so when Paul says, pray for all the saints at all times, kudos to Valley Bible Church because you do a great job at this. And the result, we've seen some magnificent answers to prayer. Chase Burrights last summer, Maria Stauffer. Well, I don't know why she's here, but God's because God answered the prayer, that's why. And then we pray other times and Paul goes to heaven, right? God is the one who answers, but we seek Him and we beseech Him. And you are faithful to do that for one another, and it grows us and it strengthens us. So we've seen how to pray, how much, how often, in a spiritual manner, who to pray for, all these things, and we can grow in these things. But yeah, have you ever asked yourself the question, well, what do I actually pray for about people? What exactly should I pray for? I know we got the list, gallbladder surgery, sprained ankle, trip to Seattle, you know, going to take a test, looking for a job, all those things, those requests. So we can say those, but I find that unsatisfying sometimes in myself because I find myself praying a list. Anybody with me on that? Were you just praying the things? And it's a laundry list of requests. They're important, I know, and we do well at that, but I think there's another level of prayer that's deeper and higher that I think we should go to and I want to encourage you to as a church. So if we're asking the question, what exactly are we to pray for? Here is one way to find out. We're in the book of Ephesians, looking over the book. What did Paul pray for the Ephesians? And what did Paul ask the Ephesians to pray for him? We're going to look at that, and I think it's going to help us to see how we can deepen and broaden our prayer life and the things that we pray for one another. What did Paul pray for the Ephesians, and what did he ask the Ephesians to pray for him? Now, Paul begins the letter in chapter 1 with prayer. In the middle of the book, in chapter 3, there's a prayer. At the end of the book, in chapter 6, he's talking about prayer. You get my drift here? Prayer is an essential part of the book of Ephesians. Now, think about this. When Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, it wasn't in a book like this. It would have been a scroll. And they would send it to the church. He had an emissary who would come and say, this is the letter from Paul. And either one of the elders or that emissary would read it, and they might stand up. But 6 chapters, you know what? It wouldn't take that long to read. But the church would gather together. Maybe they had a potluck, and they would say, hey, we've got a letter from Paul. We're going to read the letter. We're going to eat. We're going to celebrate. We're going to have communion. Then we're going to talk about what he wrote. And so they would read in one sitting the letter of Ephesians. So when he gets to chapter 6, and he's talking about prayer, it was mere minutes ago that they heard him talk about prayer in chapter 3. And it was mere minutes before that they heard him pray in chapter 1. So when he gets to chapter 6 and he's talking about praying and encouraging them to prayer, they already have in their mind, these are the kind of things we should pray about. They already know. So this is what he said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But before that, he prayed two other prayers. In chapter 1, here was the prayer that he prayed in chapter 1. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. That, here's the prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And I further pray, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. All that was part of His prayer in chapter 1. Then in chapter 3, we read it earlier. For this reason, I bow my knees. The reason is the mystery of the gospel that he is proclaiming. I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And then he finishes the prayer this way. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church, our church, and in Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. End of prayer. What did he pray for? Putting those two prayers together, what did Paul pray for? He prayed a prayer of gratitude for their salvation. He said, I always thank God for you because of your faith, your love, and your faith and the way that you've grown because they're part of the faith. He prayed for their growth in godliness. Most of that was about them to understand and to know and to experience the fullness of the calling that they have in Christ Jesus and how that works out in living the Christian life. You need to know these things so that you will live these things. And he prays for them to grow in godliness. And the last thing he prayed for was God's glory. God's glory. That's what he prayed for. Gratitude for their salvation, growth in godliness, and God's glory. But what did Paul ask the Ephesians to pray for him? That's where we get to 6 verse 19. He says, and pray for me, he says, on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know what he prayed for? The progress of the gospel. He said, would you pray for me for the progress of the gospel? And he put it in these ways. That God would give him the right words. That God would reveal the mystery of the gospel through him. He'd be able to explain it. That God would give him boldness. Notice boldness is mentioned two times in these two verses. And that God would give him the opportunity in evangelism, the right words, the ability to explain the mystery of the good news, the boldness that was needed, and an opportunity in evangelism. Now, why did he pray for these things? Because he was progressing in the gospel. He was proclaiming the gospel. And you know what? Remember the spiritual battle here. The enemy was trying to stop him. Where was he when he wrote this book? He was in prison. Why? for preaching the gospel. He had legal opposition. He was going to stand before Nero. He had religious opposition. He was going to stand before the Jewish leaders who came to Nero. He had political opposition because Nero was a politician and the Jews were politicians and they were working together to try and collude with one another. And he had spiritual opposition. In 1 Thessalonians, he says to the Thessalonians, "We wanted to come to you many times, but Satan thwarted us." He was facing spiritual opposition. It's true for us as well. We are trying to progress the gospel, and we face all sorts of opposition, sometimes legal, sometimes political, sometimes cultural, always spiritual. There is this great spiritual battle for the souls of people, and we are fighting it, and we are progressing the gospel. So what did Paul pray for? He prayed for, gave gratitude for their salvation, prayed for them to grow in godliness. He prayed for the progress of the gospel, and he prayed for God's glory. So what should we pray for? Here's the point. We're learning from the book of Ephesians. We pray the same. Gratitude, godliness, gospel, and glory. We pray the same things. I think it's interesting to note what Paul did not pray for, or what Paul did not ask for prayer. He didn't ask them to pray for his arthritis. He was an old man. Or his eyesight. Or his health, because he's in a prison and I'm not getting enough sleep. And he didn't pray for his release, did he? He didn't say, "Pray that I'll get released." Instead, he said, "Pray that God would use my imprisonment as an opportunity for me to speak the good news." He recognized that that difficult circumstance would be something that God would use for greater good. He could have prayed for release. But instead, he prayed that the circumstances of his life, as dire as they were, God would use them for his glory. So we pray for the same things: gratitude, godliness, gospel, and glory. We had our leadership retreat here back in April. And one of the things we talked about was the importance of prayer as a church. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in our congregational meeting. But we found that prayer is such an important part of what we do. And we want to ask God together for Him to do great things for Valley Bible Church. Not just for the leaders to pray these things, not just for the prayer team to pray these things, but for us as a church to pray together that God would do great things. And so we were listening. Well, what do we want God to do? Well, we want Him to bring glory to Himself through Valley Bible Church. We want Him to bring people to Christ. We want to see more and more evangelism, more people coming to faith in Christ. We want to see holiness and godliness. We want to see people grow in grace and become disciples who are following Jesus Christ and living for Him. And so we came back, and we pastors got together, and we took all of Paul's prayers from all of his letters, every single one of them. And we sat down, and we pulled out. We saw these themes that came through every single one of them, the same theme that's in the book of Ephesians, of gratitude, godliness, the gospel, and God's glory. You see it in all of his other prayers throughout all of the New Testament. And so you have in your hands a bookmark, a prayer for Valley Bible Church. And these are basically taken right from the scriptures of Paul's prayers from the New Testament. The first is gratitude. "We thank you, God, for your grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, and for our fellowship of saints." Gratitude is an important part of prayer. Oftentimes we come barging into the presence of God and we say, "Hey, God, would you do this for me, please?" And praise actually comes before that. Praise is the recognition of who God is, where we come and we say, God, you are eternal, you are love, you are kind, you are good, you are sovereign. And we declare who he is and what he has done, and we praise him. And then gratitude is important because you know what it's like if you give someone a gift and they never acknowledge it. We pray and pray and pray, and God does things, but we should say thank you for the good things that you've done. And so why not start by forming our prayers with thanking God for the good things that he's done in our midst? You can pray this, but then expand that out to thank God for one another. Thank God for what you see him doing in the life of Valley Bible Church, because there's much to be grateful for, and we're giving him the glory for that. The second is godliness. And this we pray, that our love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment. I think I told you years ago, this prayer from the New Testament, I have prayed for you all for all of these years, that our love would abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment, in order to be sincere and blameless unto the day of Christ, strengthened with his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. We want to pray for that. Pray for one another to grow in godliness. You can pray these words, but then you can branch them out and pray individually for people that they would understand God's love, that they would grow in knowledge of the Word and discernment, that they would be strengthened with God's power, that they would learn patience and steadfastness. And then the gospel. That you will open up to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak the mystery of the gospel with boldness. That we pray this together as a church. God, would you open doors for us? And would you give us boldness? Would you use the opportunities in which we find ourselves to speak the truth of the good news and explain the mystery to those who don't know? And asking God for souls as a congregation. There are hundreds of thousands of people that live around us. And there are hundreds of thousands of people around us that don't know Christ. Why not pray for God to give thousands of souls for the gospel? Give us those people. Bring them out of the darkness. Bring them out of the hidden places where they're at. Bring them into the light. That's why we're here. And to pray for them and to pray for opportunities for that. And ultimately, everything is to his glory. To you be the glory in our church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. That ultimately we form our prayers in such a way that ultimately we are saying, God, we seek your glory in all things. We do all things for the sake of the gospel. We seek to walk in godliness and holiness, and we thank you for all these great things you've done for us. So this you can place in your Bible and use that as a means of praying and praying a prayer of Valley Bible Church. And we'll talk more about this probably in weeks to come as well in terms of how we might utilize this. What can God do in a congregation that is praying these things on a regular basis? What can God do? What do we believe God can do? What can we ask God to do? What can we hope? Remember, he is able to do far beyond all that we could ever ask or think. Part of the problem is we don't pray. And prayerlessness is self-sufficiency. Prayerlessness actually is sin. So here are some suggestions for your prayer life. First of all, make a plan. I was going to read a quote from Desiring God. But I'll just kind of summarize it. John Piper says, the reason most people don't pray is because they don't plan to. They just don't plan to. They think, well, when something comes up, I'll pray. It's occasional, in other words. It's driven by events or time or something, but you have to have a plan. And I'll tell you a couple of things that have helped me the most in my prayer life is, do I even have it up here? We have a prayer booklet that is out in the foyer, and we probably don't have enough of those right now. But it's, and I thought I brought one of these up, But our prayer booklet is basically, it takes all the days of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and there's a page for each one. And you can pray for people, you can pray for things. And if you are like me the way I used to be, I used to have this long list of things I needed to pray for, and I thought I had to pray for them all every single day, and pretty soon you give up because it's too much. But if you pray significantly in the Spirit, according to God's will, persistently, perseveringly, on a daily basis for a few things, you begin to understand, I'm making some progress with my prayer life. Because I'm seeing that I can pray deeper prayers for people. And I can broaden them out for, instead of just trying to go through the list and click it off and say, okay, well, I prayed through my list this week. So those prayer booklets are out there. The second thing that I would suggest is to learn how to pray the Scriptures. Learn how to pray the Scriptures. Learn to pray at a higher level. I'm sorry, that's the next one. And by this is what I mean. Pray with gratitude. Pray for godliness, holiness, for yourself and for others as a greater result of a specific request. In other words, someone says, hey, we're taking a trip to Seattle. Pray for a safe journey. Okay, in the grand scheme of eternity, how important is that? It could be, right? But how about, you know what you can always pray for? You can always pray for, thank you for that person. You can always pray for their godliness, that they would grow, that maybe during that trip they would have opportunity to talk to their spouse, that they would grow in holiness, that they might have opportunity for the gospel, that whatever they're doing on that trip, they can bring glory to God. You see how, instead of just saying, give Joe and Jill a safe trip to Seattle, bring them back safe, how about going deeper? How about going greater and praying for something that is eternal? Pray for opportunities for boldness in the proclamation of the gospel. If there's a prayer request for someone that doesn't know Christ, pray that God would use that circumstance to bring them to Christ. If you're praying for a believer, pray that God would use them to have boldness and opportunities for them to know Christ and to tell others about the good news. This is always God's will. It's always God's will to give thanks. You ever wonder, well, I don't know if it's God's will for them to have healing. I don't know if it's God's will for them to get the job. I don't know if it's God's will for the surgery to go well. I don't know if it's God's will for them to have a safe trip. Here's what you do know. It's always God's will for you to give thanks for them. It's always God's will for them to grow in godliness. It's always God's will for the gospel to progress in their life. And it's always God's will for Him to be glorified. You can always know that you're praying God's will when you pray those things in the midst of those requests. These are all God's will. Then learn to pray the Scriptures. And I suggest just opening up the Psalms or some of the great prayers of Paul in Ephesians and just pray them back to God. If you learn to pray those prayers, then God will... You know what? You're praying in the Spirit. You're praying God's will because you're praying His very words. And so you are praying in the Spirit and you are praying God's will when you pray those Scriptures. I use a devotional book called Handbook to Prayer by Ken Boa, and it's just the whole thing is Scripture, how to pray Scripture back to God. And I would encourage you to find something like that to learn how to pray God's Word. Here's another one for your prayer life. Pray out loud. Learn to pray out loud. Get alone somewhere and talk to God out loud. I know God hears your silent prayers, and that's fine. He does. And remember, we're to pray all kinds of prayers. But think about it. Most of the prayers in the Bible are not silent prayers, are they? When you see people praying, when you hear prayers that are written down, they're people who are actually speaking to God. He can hear your inner heart when you're just mumbling. I know that. But you know how hard it is. If it's early morning or late at night, it's easy to fall asleep when you're praying silently, right? Pray out loud. I mean, the other thing that does is it encourages the idea that God is real. And He is a person and you're talking to Him. When my wife goes out the door to the grocery store, says, "Honey, I'm going to the grocery store," I don't think, "Please bring home some peanut butter." I tell her that. I say that. "Would you bring some peanut butter home?" Because she's real. She's right in front of me. And she hears the request. But in the same way, of course, God hears our inner prayers. But speaking out loud will, I think, enliven your prayer life. I pretty much guarantee that it will. Another suggestion for your prayer life is to change your posture. Get down in your comfortable in your chair, and it's late at night or early in the morning, and it's a recipe for sleep, right? Stand. Kneel. Be on your face before God. That's part of being alone, having the opportunity and the freedom to raise your hands, to talk out loud, to weep, to be on your face, to kneel. But if it's always just sitting in your comfortable position, posture can evoke our faith and help us to pray in a more effective and spiritual manner. So I encourage you to change your posture. Next, journal or write out your prayers. Write them out. If you were going to visit a king or a president of a big corporation to ask for a job, wouldn't you at least think beforehand what you're going to say before you go into their presence? We were talking about this at our sermon prep time the other day, and one of our ladies said that she writes prayers out, and when she does, because she's writing them out, they're never, "Lord, help all the missionaries. Help me to have a good day." Nothing that's trite. They're deep and they're moving and they're at a different level. They're at an eternal level because you're thinking about, I'm talking to God on the throne, the God of the universe, and I'm putting down my heart's desire that I want Him to know in words that are commensurate with who He is. I do this sometimes, and I find it very satisfying to write out prayers. And finally, remember that prayer is dependence upon God. Prayer is depending upon God. It is saying to God, once again, "You're God and I'm not. I need some help here. You can do this. I can't. You know things I don't know. Would you help me out?" And when we recognize that prayer is truly a submission to God, then we're praying in the Spirit. I was thinking of the Lord's Prayer this week. And the model that Jesus gave to us, He said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He starts off with praise. He properly addresses God, "You are Father in heaven. Holy is your name." And then there's a statement of submission and dependence. "Your will be done on earth as may it be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's a submission to God. It's a dependence upon God, saying, "God, you are sovereign, and all things are in your hands, and therefore I submit to your sovereign will." And then there's one request right in the middle. "Give us this day our daily bread." That's the one prayer asking for something of this earth. Give me daily sustenance. And from that we learn we can come to God and we can ask Him to do things for us. But then He goes on, and the other prayers are at another level, because He says, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." He's praying for cleansing, for godliness, for holiness. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We're in a spiritual battle. And I want victory. I want to be alert. I want to have victory in holiness and godliness over the enemy. And then He ends with, "For yours is the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen." It's all about your glory. That's how we pray. And I encourage you to a deeper, broader level of prayer than just praying your list, but praying for God's help. We're going to stand. We're running a little bit over time, so we're going to dispense with our final song here. So would you stand as we pray? Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer, the opportunity to talk to you, to come into your presence. Father, we know that we are children and we don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know what is best for us or for others. We know, Lord, when we pray for one another, sometimes we pray and pray and pray, and we get to a point where we recognize it is important for us to pray for maybe not healing anymore, but for comfort and for grace and for glory. Help us to know, Lord God, how and when. Help us to persevere in our prayers. Help us to pray in the Spirit by praying your words back to you, by walking with you, by abiding with you. We pray, Father, that ultimately the gospel would be proclaimed from this place in such a way that we would see souls, a harvest of souls. The people are coming to Christ because we have pleaded on their behalf from you, a gracious God who has come to seek and save the lost. And ultimately, we pray, Father, for your glory, that in all of our prayers and in all that we do, you would be seen. You would be known, you would be praised, and you would be worshiped. So we thank you, Father, for the Apostle Paul and the instruction, the example that he's given to us. And may we pray as a church these things that we see in your word. For all this we pray in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen.